Hannah, you've been writing a lot recently on your newsletter, and I've enjoyed reading it. But recently you tweeted something saying that like you were kind of stuck on trying to write your most recent post on God and gravity.
Yeah, so I have this newsletter to keep my writing muscles going. If you're a writer or you know that it's so easy to get stuck. So sometimes having quantity can lead to quality. Mm. And that's kind of my motto. And just, you know, keeping the wheels greased. But in terms of sometimes even then when I try to give myself like a deadline of like 1 week, just things just get stuck.
Yeah.
But the good thing about something like a newsletter is that you have to just push through, even if it's not done or as done as you want it to be. So that's what I did. I mean, I complained about it a few times here and there, and then I was like, I just got to finish it. So I just, after a certain point, you just got to let it go. So that's what I did. So writing is a love-hate relationship.
How does that affect you as an editor? When you're working with people, do you like try to empathize? Like, oh, I know it's hard, you know, like, or are you more like, come on, just get to it.
I definitely have the most empathy when I am in a writing mode. So that's kind of why I do want to keep writing. But at the same time, I think it also allows me to give myself grace as a writer to be like, hey, like, it's not as terrible as you think it is.
Right.
Usually.
Yeah.
Right. But just, you know, and I think when it comes to your own blog, it's hard to, you're your worst own critic, but also sometimes you just don't know what ideas are sticking. But then when you have another set of eyes, just take a look, you can really kind of polish or sharpen things. And so I love writing my own stuff, but I also really love reading other people's stuff to really not have to do my own thinking, but just to polish someone else's. That's the best.
Yeah. It seems as if you've been writing almost every week because I've been trying to link to it on our Friday roundups.
Yeah. So I try to do one a week, at least once every 2 weeks. That's the biggest gap I'm really giving myself. There's always stuff to write about. I think the biggest thing for writing is actually just processing your ideas to synthesize something. But sometimes you just got to write and then until an idea pops out too.
How do you feel about writing as like a form of journaling? But I mean like writing online as a form of journaling. So like, you know, publishing something, I guess.
Huh. So I think there's room for all of that. I think for journaling, these are like raw thoughts. I don't know if it's always safe to put raw thoughts on the internet unless you're very clear about saying like, this is raw. I mean, I remember reading A Grief Observed by C.S. Lewis, which basically like his journal thoughts after his wife passed away. And man, some of the things he writes, he is like so upset, so sad. But granted, that was published as a whole. You could see his whole journey and you could see, you know, his conclusions shifting, you know, even in his, in that period of months. So I think in terms of journaling, I think it's super healthy. I think when you're publishing something, especially on a blog or somewhere where you want someone to read it, something public, I think it does help the audience to read it and do something with it if you've already digested at least a little bit, right? Like I know there are articles where we just ask questions and those can be helpful framing questions, but I also think there, so I think I would be cautious, but not against raw thoughts. But I do think, having something digested is really helpful for the reader.
Well, I hope you keep writing and I'm definitely going to keep reading it. So keep them coming, Hannah.
Thanks.
Well, anyways, this is not a
This
is not a newsletter podcast. I guess we got to talk about Sola stuff. But Sola's been good for the month of October. We've been busy. We've been pushing out more articles. And I think the emphasis on worship, art, and creativity has really pulled through this month. What have been some of your favorite articles so far? When we're recording this, it's October.
It's been really fun. Yes, we still have ways to go, but you know, we've been having a lot of people who've written for us previously to, you know, continue to contribute. I mean, definitely I enjoyed all of Aaron Lee's articles.
You're kind.
It's you.
You're kind.
No, but I really liked the 6 special challenges for Asian American worship groups.
Thank you.
Just really seeing those written down and commented on was really helpful for framing and placing our music teams in context. Like you're right. Like none of my friends who are on praise team ever took a formal guitar lesson, unless they were like maybe like a very few, right?
Right.
No one took drum lessons, I'm pretty sure. They just had to pick it up.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people who get really passionate and they'll buy all the pedals for their electric guitar, right?
Yeah.
You know, there might be that one or two like string instruments who are classically trained but have never played in a band before.
Right.
And have to now be in this weird non-orchestra.
Yeah.
So that's, for example, that was really important that, you know, and especially my friends who are leading high school groups, to for them to know like, hey, these are kids who need to be discipled, right? And taught theology and music and not just resume building.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, so I really liked all of that.
Oh, thank you. Well, thanks for working on it with me, Hannah. I guess we should tell a little bit of the story. When I first started working with Sola, I think, you know, we did do one article really quickly, I think. And that was, what was that? It was
10 easy ways to blow your influence as a worship leader.
Yes, that's what it was. That's what it was. It was 10 easy ways to blow your influence as a worship leader. So I remember we posted that, and that was like kind of right when I came on board. And I was like, oh, okay, like, I don't know if this is my best, but like, I guess if Hannah likes it, then I guess it's good. And then you kind of knew that, yeah, October, we were going to focus on this worship, creativity, and art. And then you looked at my Tumblr and you said, oh, this one we can, you know, polish up and use. And so I'm thankful that you actually went and browsed through my Tumblr and found this one. And this one was already in my archive before Sola, or before I knew anything really about what was going on. And so I'm glad that like God can use like the things that I write even, you know, beforehand. And I guess anybody, right? I mean, I guess that's the beauty of the internet, is that like you can put stuff on there and like you don't need, you know, a platform or like you know, something like Sola to publish your work. You can self-publish. And if God so chooses, your stuff can be made available later down the line.
Yeah. I mean, some of our best contributors, you know, like Heidi Tai, Patria, you know, those are people who had blogs, Fred Mock, and I'll just go through their archives to be like, hey, like, if you're a good writer, you know, I can repost, we can polish up. And especially, Aaron, for yours, I really appreciated that, you know, this was very specific for an Asian context, which can seem so niche when it's like a personal blog against the internet. But in a platform like Sola that is catered towards the Asian American, you know, community, it's so relevant.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I really thought it was great.
Oh, thanks for recognizing it. And again, yeah, thanks for helping me. I think that, Hannah, a lot of people don't really understand the work that goes behind publishing on Sola. And so I hope this podcast kind of gives people a window into what we do behind the scenes here. And Isaac, too, actually. We got to give a lot of credit to Isaac, because that guy, I see Isaac emailing all the time, too. So he's here, too.
Yeah, our web guy. Props to the web guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you have your own blog and you have a lot of stuff, please let us know.
Yeah.
Just email me, hannah.chow@sola.network.
and I think too, like, even without having Sola or anything, just keep writing, you know, keep working on your craft and just writing just to exercise that creative muscle. Any other articles that stick out to you, Hannah, before I let you know some of mine?
Yeah, I mean, this isn't super, this isn't exactly the theme, but I really always enjoy Michael Agapito's Blessed Trinity article. I love how he's like just taking these creeds that they're all old. They're all old, but that so important in the formation of our Christian faith. And I thought he did a great job explaining the Trinity, that it's not really explainable by a metaphor and we should really move away from that, but really just use what the Bible says to teach the Trinity. That was really powerful. And also a quick plug for Moses Lee's articles on what John Calvin taught me about refugees. Super timely, again, like a champion of the Reformed faith who lived out his faith, right? He wasn't just, you know, ivory tower or seminary. It was no, like he lived, you know, out helping refugees.
I think some of my favorites were Judy Lee's Seeing by Light, Redeeming Beauty to God's Standards.
Mm-hmm.
I think she did a really good job of that.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to say Jason Chow, What to Do If You Didn't Like Sunday Sermon. And I think, I'm assuming you had some help in this one too, Hannah. Is there a story behind this one? Is there something going on at All Nations that I need to know about?
Yeah, I mean, No. So my husband was a youth pastor for a long time. He recently stepped down to follow his passions as a filmmaker. And so he does have a little bit of like one foot in each world. And, you know, he was like, hey, you know, like I've been sitting in the congregation now for a few months, you know, talking to people after each service. And also just, you know, visiting lots of other churches as a guest speaker and things like that. And just realizing like, hey, like, I really think we need to be more like the Bereans who examine the scriptures with the sermon, like together. It's not just like, hey, entertain me with the Sunday sermon, but hey, no, really show me truth in the scripture that will merge and fuse with, you know, the truth that I already has been revealed to me and that I can go deeper in my knowledge of the gospel. And I'm glad you liked it.
I did. Yeah. And the funny thing was that, you know, I can see like the shares on Facebook. And so like, you see, you see a lot of the pastors just kind of putting it out there, you know, maybe no context, you know, just kind of throwing it out there. So I thought that was kind of a cool thing to see happen. And then lastly, this is a recent one, but Angela Hom's 5 Ways to Handle the Transition to College. Now, you know, I work with the youth.
Yeah.
And I do know some collegians and some high school seniors. And so, yeah, that transition is tough. And I think that the article is very good advice for anybody who wants to kind of remember what it was like to be back then, for us who are youth workers, at least. But then also, you know, if you are a youth and you're reading that, yeah, hopefully it's a good encouragement. I thought that was a good example to set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. First time contributor. So we're really happy about that.
Yeah. How'd you get in touch with Angela anyways?
I think Pastor Steve, Living Hope Community Church, introduced us, if I remember.
By the time people are going to hear this, most likely the Leaders Dialogue event is already going to happen. I won't be attending. Are you going to go?
No, I also cannot make it. Orange County, as we know, is a vast country that is so vast and far from Los Angeles County.
Yeah, you guys are far.
But a council member and my lead pastor, Pastor Michael Lee, will be there. I know he's prepping and getting excited for that. Tim St. John is another one of our editorial board.
Right, he
is fantastic. Loves Jesus, loves people. And who is the third? Do you remember the third person? Is it Pastor Harold?
Yeah, Pastor Harold Kim.
Pastor Harold, he always brings it. He's a great speaker, knows what he's talking about, been in the ministry a long time, lots of things that, you know, he's able to pour out. And I'm just really glad that, you know, there's a resource for a lot of our leaders to really learn from one another.
I'm excited to see what comes from it. I'm sure we'll have some media available, and we'll be sure to post that on the website and probably some social media once I get a hold of that.
Definitely.
Well, Hannah, it's almost time to go. What has God been teaching you recently in your life?
You know, God has been teaching me patience. Nice. I heard, so this past Sunday, I mean, I think the thing that struck out to me, actually, we had a sermon on Sunday, was patience implies unpleasantness.
Okay.
When you think of patience, I think I just forgot that it means that there is something to bear, right? Like it's not like, because we can all be 100% patient when everything's 100% good, but knowing that we are called to suffer, we are called to be in unpleasant circumstances, really shifts the burden of the patience away from the person who's causing me grief, but onto myself. Right. It's the patience is for me. Right. It's not for them to make my patience go down. It's about me to grow in the patience. And because right now, like as a parent, you know, of two lovely but willful children who have minds and desires, right? Like I can so easily slip into, you're making me mad. You're testing mom's patience, which may be true, but you know, that I'm called to endure and be faithful, you know, like because I love them, because I want to serve them. And this isn't to say that, you know, if you're in like a dangerous situation that you're called to just bear all things, you know, we want to be in relationships that are safe and secure and loving. But I do think in most of our lives, with coworkers, with family members, with friends, even with, you know, strangers driving down the freeway, cutting us off, right?
Yeah, like,
this world is unpleasant. Like, we just got to admit that. But as Christians, how are we growing in patience? So for me, that's what God's been teaching me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
How about you, Aaron?
I think that with writing the articles for Sola, the Fundamentals of Worship, the Advice for Christian Artists, and the Worship Team one, as well as actually leading music this past Sunday. I think God has been teaching me to serve him in the strength that he supplies. And I guess I could say that because I've been sick actually for the past like 2 weeks. It's just kind of like this lingering cold and like
lingering. Oh no.
Yeah. And so like, Hannah, when we were going back and forth with the edits on my articles, I was actually kind of sick. And so when I was going back and forth, I was thinking to myself, okay, just let me, Aaron, just put it out there, get those edits done, and we'll see what Hannah says. And mm-hmm. when I was leading music this past Sunday, I can sing, you know, it's okay, but I'm not like 100%, you know? So I really got to trust my team and honestly just trust God that he's going to bring me through it. And then also I'm working on some personal music projects. Maybe I'll share them later, but I have deadlines that I want to meet and I need to get stuff done. And in my personal life, I have work to do, like actual work, mm-hmm. work, you know, and then, you know, our family stuff that's going on. And so, yeah, I think just learning that, like, hey, Aaron, like, even when you feel like you're being productive, you know, you think you're getting a lot of stuff done, just remember that it's really God that's doing it all. And so serve him, relying on his strength, leaning on him, trusting in him, and letting him empower you to get it done. And I know it's silly because like it's just like a small cold or whatever, you know, that's what I think. But that's what's going on through my head. And hopefully that's really what I'm feeling in my heart too. Aaron, serve in the strength that God supplies.
Yeah, it's just faithful in the little things, right? Mm-hmm. In the little ways. That's awesome, Aaron.
Yeah, Hannah.
And well, nothing thanks. Like a little bit of sickness to show you how weak you are.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think I am on the mend. And so hopefully, you know, I'll be better soon. And yeah, we'll keep crunching out all this soulless stuff. And maybe I'll see you at Disneyland or something down the line too. Who knows?
Yeah, that'd be exciting.
Do you have a pass?
Okay, you know what? My husband has a pass because now he's the free one.
Nice.
And he takes my youngest daughter.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because the oldest daughter got to go for many years before. She got a head start, basically. So the younger one's catching up this year. But this might be our last year with passes. We might just go once or twice a year now for like the whole family.
Right.
And then we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, yeah. We always say we don't want to do it again, but then, you know, it sucks us back in.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, thanks, Hannah. Thanks for doing the podcast.
All right. Awesome. Have a good day, Aaron. And have a good day, everybody else.
Thanks.